You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Hello there. We've been waiting for you. See, we've been chanting your name, burning magic sigils and putting sleeper agents into top-level government positions. It was a lot of work, to be honest, but you're here, so it was worth it. And what can I say but, oh dear, I can only apologise for the hole you're about to fall into. Many listeners have stood where you stand right now. We simply opened the door and in they went and they've never been heard from again. Stuck somewhere in a deep, dark well of podcast content. Over 400 episodes now. Or go from the start. A lot of our listeners simply devoured the other stories one bite at a time, starting right back at episode one. If you choose this route, you'll see just how far the podcast has come, whilst experiencing some of the best short horror, sci-fi, thriller, and WTF stories this side of the apocalypse.
These are the other stories.
'60s Cleveland, Ohio. An era where lakes are caught on fire. An era of war, both foreign and domestic. Cleveland's a loaded gun, waiting for someone to pull the trigger. Oh, hello there. I didn't notice you standing over there. Come, sit down for a second. Come on, I won't bite.
Hey, did you hear about this Amory DeWolf guy?
Some of my colleagues call him the Shadowy Sliver. I'm sure you've heard about him. Oh, well, then I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity. If you're in love with assholes smoking cigars, crisp shadows in the alleyway, or witty remarks over the state of our affairs, his adventures, if you can call them that, follow his ass, trying to survive in this post-Casablanca world of gangsters, riots, and murder, in a time of nothing but gangsters, riots, and murder. You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, of course you do. Well, anyway, if you want to hear his sorry ass drink and complain, as well as all great noir anti-heroes, listen on November 11th at bars or jazz clubs or something. I've heard of some of these newfound bars. I would recommend SoundCloud and Audio Avenue. They serve great old fashions. My good friend has raved about this one club called Google Play, which sounds like some kind of sex dungeon to me, but whatever. There's this noodle place called Podbean, it's not bad. And there's another one that had a Western name, something like High Noon. It was iTunes. Now, that's a weird name for a bar. I guess they play old tunes or something. Go check out his show wherever your podcast needs are met. And if you want to donate to my drinking edition, you can go to this store called Patreon. Here, let me give you the address. The address is patreon.com/shadowyslicker. You memorize that? Good. I need my bourbon money. Well, you're busy, so I'll let you go for now. Tune in to the Shadowy Slicker on November 11th for hardcore noir.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast, This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time, or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode number 11 of the Forgotten News Podcast.
My name is Jim, and thank you for listening.
My name is Kit Karen, and I'm here too. I've had so much fun in the time I've been co-hosting the show with Jim. And I don't know if I've had anything to do with it, but in the very short time since our most recent episode, we have hit over 9,000 total downloads.
Maybe you're the whole reason.
We're also extremely thankful for the many podcast hosts who have graciously volunteered their time and talent as guest voices on the featured stories of our episodes.
Absolutely. 100%.
But this episode will be a bit different than what we usually do on the podcast.
Here's the thing. We wanted to do an episode with a St. Valentine's Day theme, but with a historical twist, since this is a history podcast. So I went digging in really old issues of my local newspaper, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And I found a few things that I thought would be fun to share. The first mentions that I found regarding St. Valentine's Day were in the 1840s. I was completely unaware that St. Valentine's Day was widely celebrated in that time period, let alone that Valentine's cards were just as popular back then as they are now.
Wow.
Well, listeners, this episode is the direct outgrowth of the things that we discovered.
In the 1840s, a man named Joseph Gray was an editor and publisher of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He had moved to Cleveland from Vermont and had founded the newspaper in 1842. At this time, the 1840s, he was in his 30s, and for some unknown reason, he had a very cynical opinion about St. Valentine's Day. For example, on February 3rd, 1848, he published this short editorial. St. Valentine's Day. This annual feast of reason and soul is gradually growing nigh, when bachelors, lovers, girls, and old maids have the right of insulting one another or breathing sighs and words of love deep as the deep blue sea, through highly perfumed and beautifully printed cards delivered through the charms of the post office. If our memory serves us right, it comes off on the 14th of February, and the ladies will no doubt come out strong. Many a beauteous belle will, on that day, be privileged to tease the youthful aspirant or the aging bachelor. Lovers may decide to use the custom of mailing a St. Valentine's card to ask the all-important question, without the awkward stammer, the throbbing pulse, or blush of confusion, which are inseparable from a face-to-face declaration. We observe, by the way, a splendid lot of Valentine's cards, from the sublime to the ridiculous, at Sanford's Bookshop. If you intend on sending one, you had better secure it before they are all gone. This being 2018, it is definitely too late for you to secure a St. Valentine's Day card at Sanford's Bookshop. If, for no other reason, it is probably already February 14th or later when you're hearing this podcast, and Sanford's Bookshop went out of business quite a few decades ago. But getting back to Joseph Gray, In addition to writing cynical editorials about Valentine's Day, it seems as though every year, as soon as the day was over, he would write something that predicted that the celebration of the holiday would soon fade away forever. Evidently, he was not very good at making long-term predictions. However, notwithstanding his rather negative opinion of St. Valentine's Day, he had no inhibitions about giving advice to the lovelorn. Perhaps the best example of such advice from Joseph Gray occurred in 1845 when he published a list of rules for ladies and rules for gentlemen. Put in modern terms, they were advice for love, dating, and marriage. On today's episode of the Forgotten News podcast, we are now going to share these rules with you, and then after that, several of your favorite podcasters are going to give their opinion of them, and maybe also a favorite St. Valentine's Day memory or two. Oh, and before we move on, I will give a listener warning. Here it is. There is nothing to warn you about. Because this being our St. Valentine's episode, you will only hear sweetness and light, both from us and our guests. And with that being said, on with the show. First, I'm going to narrate the rules for ladies as published in the Cleveland Plain Dealer in 1845. And then Kirk Griffin, the host of the podcast Discovery Show, will narrate the rules for gentlemen, which were published in the same issue. And after that, our guests will give their St. Valentine's Day greetings and commentary. So now, if you're ready, just sit back, relax, and join us in hearing the rules and also the voices of our podcast friends one by one as they visit our show. Rules for ladies. Rule number one. Marry not a profane man, because the depravity of his heart will corrupt your children and embitter your existence. Rule number two. Marry not a gambler, a tippler, a frequenter of taverns, because he who has no regard for himself will never have any for his wife. Rule number three. Marry not a man that makes promises which he never performs, because you can never trust him. Rule number four. Marry not a man whose actions do not correspond with his sentiments, because the passions have dethroned reason, and he is prepared to commit every crime to which an evil nature unrestrained can instigate. The state of that man who pays no regard to his knowledge of right and wrong is deplorable, and the less you have to do with him, the better. Rule number five. Marry not the man who is in the habit of running after all the girls in the country, because his affections are continually wavering and will never be permanent. Rule number six. Marry not a man who neglects his business. If he does so when single, he will do worse when married.
Rules for gentlemen. Rule number one. Marry not a woman who cannot make a shirt or cook a meal. Such a woman would keep a man poor all the days of his life. Rule number two. Marry not a woman who is a lady and proud, because she will be eternally scolding if she does not get everything that she wants. Rule number 3. Marry not a woman who thinks herself better than anybody else, because it shows a want of sense, and she will have but a few friends. Rule number 4. Marry not a woman who is fond of spinning street yarn, because such a woman will not make a good wife, and will never be contented at home. Rule number 5. Marry not a woman who is in the daily habit of slandering her neighbors, and give ear to all the gossip that she hears. Such women make the worst wives.
Our first guest is Sarah from the Karen and Ellen Letters podcast.
Hi, this is Sarah Stapleton from the Karen and Ellen Letters on the Our Americana podcast network. I'd like to thank Jim and Kit Karen for inviting me on to share my Valentine's thoughts. I was a little leery of reading these dating rules because, well, it was, you know, 70 years ago, and, well, women's roles in life have changed quite a bit since then. So I was pretty sure I was going to read a lot about, you know, obeying your husband and submitting to his will and things like that. So I was bracing myself, but actually I was pretty pleasantly surprised. They had a lot of good advice in there. You know, don't marry someone who's chasing after all the other girls. Marry not someone who neglects his business. If he does so when he's single, he will do worse when he's married. You know, it's pretty good advice. If he doesn't take care of himself or his money when he's single, why would he get better later on when somebody else is contributing to the household? So overall, I thought it gave pretty good advice, but, you know, there was very much a lot of stereotyping in the fact that, you know, you shouldn't marry men who are bad with money and chase girls, and you shouldn't marry women who are loose with their tongue and can't cook. So there was a lot of close adherence to the traditional gender roles, which is not unsurprising considering it was 1845. But I am very grateful that the rules of dating have changed. Again, thank you so much for inviting me to be involved in your Valentine's special, in your Valentine's episode, and I wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day.
Our next guest is Jesse, the host of the Pearls from My Mom podcast.
Hi there, and happy Valentine's Day. My name's Jesse, host of Pearls from My Mom, the podcast, and the motto over there is sharing to keep the legacy alive. So I love Valentine's Day as I love all holidays, and I feel like the reason that is because of my mom. She made such a big effort to always make holidays special. She was the one that would bake cookies and cupcakes for the class. She always helped my sister and I craft the most special Valentine's Day for our friends. And who can beat the memory of, you know, making your little mailbox out of construction paper and hanging it on your desk, and then getting the chance to distribute all the Valentines that you wrote and seeing all the nice things that your friends wrote about you. And of course, there's candy involved, so that's always great. And now that I'm a mom, I get to help my kids do that. So I have a special affinity for Valentine's Day in my heart, and I hope you have a beautiful Valentine's Day this year. So I took a look at these rules for ladies from 1845 that were in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. These are rules about love, dating, and marriage. And, you know, to be honest, when I was asked to do this, I thought that these rules would probably end up being pretty ridiculous. I've seen magazine articles from the 1950s that were geared towards ladies, and they would tell us how to be the perfect wife for our husband, which basically, you know, equated to not talking to him when he got home because he's had a long day and he doesn't have time for your nonsense. You know, keeping the dinner piping hot, always making sure that you're wearing your pearls and your makeup when he gets home. And to be frank, I think that those rules kind of sound like a little bit of BS. So I was worried when I saw 1845 what kind of rules we would have here. But to be honest with you, there are 6 rules, And they seem like they would have been really good rules for marrying and love and dating in 1845. And I think they're pretty good rules for 2018. So I'll give you a couple favorite examples here. Number 3, marry not a man that makes promises which he never performs, because you can never trust him. So, you know, bottom line, a marriage is a partnership. And whether you have kids or not, you're probably going to need all the help you can get some days. So if you have a partner that says they're going to do things and they continually don't do them, you're going to get frustrated, which will probably end up in nagging, which will probably end up in fights and total unhappiness. So I think it's a good idea for both partners to make sure that they follow through on what they're promising. So I think rule number 3, totally solid rule. I also like rule number 5. This seems pretty standard, but marry not the man who is in the habit of running after all the girls in the country, because his affections are continually wavering and will never be permanent. So I think this is a great rule also for both partners. You know, if you are constantly chasing after something that isn't your spouse, you're probably going to be making your spouse unhappy. You'll end up making yourself unhappy, and I think the whole marriage will most likely crumble. So, you know, these 6 rules for dating in 1845 actually seem like they're pretty good rules for dating in 2018 and love and marriage. So if you are looking for advice on love and dating and marriage, feel free to turn to the Cleveland Plain Dealer and check out the Rules for Ladies. And other than that, from me, Jesse, at Pearls from My Mom, have a great St. Valentine's Day.
Our next guests are Barney and Tara, the co-hosts of the Bloody Murder podcast.
Hi, I'm Tara from Bloody Murder podcast. I love long walks on the beach with my boyfriend until the LSD wears off and I realize I'm just dragging a giant stolen body pillow around a shopping center car park again. In terms of these rules that we have set out here, I think that they're all very sound for 1845. I also think they're pretty sound for now, although I do have issue with the first rule. Marry not a profane man, because the depravity of his heart will corrupt your children and embitter your existence.
Bollocks.
Yeah, well, I don't actually have any children, and my existence got embittered so long ago, I can't even quite pinpoint when it was. I'm also imagining that profane in this context would be to treat something holy with a lack of respect. And quite frankly, I think a lot of holy things don't deserve our respect. So I would prefer someone to be profane, to be questioning. And if they happen to swear while they're at it, well, I really wouldn't mind. I do have a dog that I treat a bit like a child, but her existence is like not corrupted. She's pretty strong in her doggy happy joyness.
Hi, I'm Barney Black from the Bloody Murder podcast, and I have a Valentine's Day greeting for you. Somewhere out there is a secret admirer, but not for you and not for me. Hi, this is Barney Black from the Bloody Murder podcast, and I'd like to wish all of you people out there a very happy Valentine's Day, and I hope you spend it with someone that you like, or even love. That's even better. And, you know, don't eat too much chocolate, because if you get fat, they won't like you anymore. Oh, about these rules for gentlemen. Rule 1, marry not a woman who cannot make a shirt. I don't think that probably was important in 1845, but hey, what about socks? I'm always losing socks. I'd love it if my wife could make socks. I'd love it if I had a wife. If my wife could make beer. If she could program my DVR. That'd be nice. Rule number 2. Marry not a woman who is a lady and proud. Well, that's right. I'd think for a wife, I think I'd want a woman from a poorer station. Then she'd be grateful to me. And the rest of these rules, well, they're mostly about, you know, gossiping and you know, your wife being a bit of a knucklehead. Yeah, you should marry your friend, your peer. You don't want a Agatha Christie in your life, a Secretary of Nagriculture. No.
Listeners, sorry to interrupt the episode, but I'm going to take a quick moment to remind you of our promo code for a 15% discount on any purchase from Studio Sweden. Simply go to studiosweden.com and enter the promo code FORGOTTEN. Studio creates a product that matches or exceeds the quality of highest rated headphones on the market, but for a fraction of the cost. Ladies, let me tell you, most of the headphones and earbuds from Studio are so beautiful that they look more like jewelry than technology. And if your sweetie or your spouse didn't buy you something from Studio Sweden for St. Valentine's Day, then maybe you need to rethink your relationship. But gents, don't worry. Studio didn't forget about you. All of the products from Studio have a classic Scandinavian design, available in a variety of styles and colors, with Studio quality audio. I guarantee that these are the best headphones or earbuds that you will ever use, and that you will look ultra sharp any time that you wear them. In addition, Studio offers 100% free shipping to anywhere in the world. And don't forget our promo code for a 15% discount on any purchase is Forgotten. Be sure to check the show notes of this episode for a link to obtain more details. Our next guest is Sarah, the host of the Let's Talk About Sex podcast.
This is Sarah Steele from Let's Talk About Sex podcast. Happy St. Valentine's Day to every one of you. I'm not that big on Valentines, I must admit. I think it might be the result of a cynical nature. But that means I do like to question a lot of the things society says and does. So I'm all for questioning 1845's rules for marriage. I managed to get my hands on the rules for both gentlemen and ladies, and since I'm not a big fan of the gender binary nor heteronormativity in any case, I figured I'd comment on a little from column A and a little from column B. In the rules for gentlemen, rule number 5, marry not a woman who is in the daily habit of slandering her neighbours and giving ear to all the gossiping she hears. Such women make the worst wives. I believe that this was a bad rule for 1845 and remains a bad rule for today. This is a rule that's sometimes used in cults, as well as marriage don'ts from the Cleveland Plain Dealer in the mid-19th century. I think reflecting on other people's behaviours and talking them over with people whose opinions you can trust can be a great way of spotting when something's awry and checking in on your neighbours or even your spouse's actions. By talking to someone with a little more perspective can help you to realise when you have every right to advocate for yourself or when perhaps you're being a little bit unfair. In the rules for ladies, rule number 4. Marry not a man whose actions do not correspond with his sentiments, because the passions have dethroned reason, and he is prepared to commit every crime to which an evil nature unrestrained can instigate. The state of that man who pays no regard to his knowledge of right and wrong is deplorable, and the less you have to do with him, the better. I believe that this one's as good of a rule today as it was in 1845. It might be going a little far in its condemnation, but it's completely fair to judge someone who doesn't, let's say, practice what they preach. May we all go forward with respect and understanding of those whom we love this Valentine's Day. Thanks so much to Jim and the Forgotten News podcast, whose wonderful historical findings led me and Let's Talk About Sects to our own episode this Valentine's Day about the communist, celibate, utopian sect who believed that we live on the inside surface of a hollow earth, the Koreshans. Much love to everyone today from Sydney, Australia.
Our next guests are Kate and Willem from the Ignorance Was Bliss podcast.
Hey, this is Kate with Ignorance Was Bliss. As a forensic psychologist and crisis clinician, I have spent years trying to understand and explain who gets locked up when things go haywire and who gets a key. I was invited by Jim and Kit to help out with the Valentine's Day special, for which I feel completely underqualified. My podcast has a grand total of 1 completed episode. after being assured that everybody starts somewhere and that I can fake it like I know what I'm doing, that's what I'm doing. With me today is my husband, Willem.
Hi.
I thought it would be nice for him to sit down with me and chat about Valentine's Day, since we've been married for somewhere between 17 and 1,000 years.
Give or take.
Yeah. So happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
See, he does know how to say it, at least. That's very nice. We've been asked to share our favorite Valentine's memory.
You first.
Yeah, so that's all we got. It's not that Valentine's Day has always sucked for me.
No, we just don't celebrate it.
At all. Ever. Willem earns more brownie points by bringing home flowers when I don't expect it than by buying something red because Hallmark told him to. But I don't want to be a party pooper. And I thought, we do live in Salem, so we could always revive the pagan approach.
Ooh, tell me more.
Shall I? It's a big public celebration, which we know a lot about here, because Halloween has already become an entire month-long nightmare. We might as well add something in February, too, right?
Absolutely.
First things first, all the men need to show up and drink.
I can do that.
Next, the women will show up and get naked in public.
Two for two.
And then after that, you need to gather a goat or a dog.
Sure.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Then you need to skin them. Oh, wait, ritual sacrifice first. Oh. Same.
Okay. A little bit of a left turn, but I'm still with you.
After that, the women will line up and you need to whip them with the skins of the animals you just sacrificed.
And now you've lost me.
Oh. Well, we could go watch.
If that's what you'd like to do on your Sunday, let's go do that.
We can still drink.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We can always drink.
So instead of a sweetheart memory, then, I thought I'd talk about a case that references all of the 1845 rules for ladies looking for a husband.
Can I still get drunk?
Go for it. It's 9 in the morning. Why not? So I'm going to chat about a young lady named Maria Barbella. Do you know her?
No.
Is that like no congressional hearing, never heard of her, or pleading the fifth? Or, you know what? Plead the fifth.
We're not familiar. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Maria was born in 1893, so she's kind of a cougar for you.
Yeah.
But when she was 25, her family emigrated from Italy to New York City. She started working as a seamstress. And being green in the days before it was cool to be green, she walked to and from work. And every time she walked to and from work, she would pass Shoeshine Boy. No?
No.
Really? Wally Cox? Underdog? No? Raised by Wolves. Shoeshine Boy.
Shoeshine Boy.
Well, this one's name was Domenico Cataldo. He was 27, so 2 years older. He was attractive, and she, being a good Catholic girl, had never dated, never seen herself as anything. So she was delighted right up until the point where her father found out and threatened to kick her out of the house if she kept dating him. So you have a daughter. What do you suppose she did? Listened to her dad?
Oh, yeah, sure. Definitely listened to her parents.
That's what they all do.
That's right.
You have two daughters. The little one doesn't even pretend to listen to us yet.
That's right.
They broke up for about a couple months. And then she kept walking back and forth, and there's Shoeshine Boy every day, and apparently he continued to offer to shine her shoes.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Those days.
Yeah.
He was pressuring her for more because he was drawing a direct line between walk down the block and have sex. Like you do.
It's a fairly straight line.
And she put him off. No, 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 I'm a good girl. We got to be married first. He finally convinces her, stop off at my boarding house and have a drink. Which I think is like the 1895 version of, let me show you some etchings. She agreed. An hour later, she wakes up on his bed, half undressed, blood on the sheets, and him congratulating her for having still been a virgin up to that point. Mm. She still thought they ought to get married. Because, you know, for me, whenever I'm drugged and raped, that's my first thought. He said, okay, fine, I'll marry you. But not right now. Maybe tomorrow. Let's move in together first. And she fell for it because I'm thinking by this point, 2 years of back and forth had her a little unhinged. You've never dated anyone who was unhinged.
I've never dated anybody who wasn't unhinged.
Okay, fair enough.
There are hinged women out there?
Not this one. So they move in together into a new boarding house of sorts. That's when she learns that Domenico is not just shoeshine boy. He also drinks heavily and gambles all his money away.
Triple threat.
Yes. After a month of living in sin, Maria and her mother find Domenico at a bar. They demand he marry her today. His response is, okay, hand over $200.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, it's only, what, $5,500 in today's money.
Okay, that's less reasonable.
Maria and her mother started to leave, and then things got weird, because up until this point...
I was going to say, it sounded like it got weird a little bit earlier, but I'm with you.
At some point, he may have reached for a gun, she may have hit him. What is clear is that she happened to have a 6-inch straight razor tucked up her sleeve. She whipped it out, grabbed his bang, slit his throat. Happy Valentine's Day. This wasn't even Valentine's Day. It's just
bringing him a gift on a random Tuesday.
It was. There you go. See, she was well-trained. He chased her out of the bar. She ran all the way home. He only made it a block before he bled out and died.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
Very sad.
Yes.
She was arrested on the same day. And 3 months later, found guilty. First-degree murder. She was the second woman in the U.S. Second woman ever, I suppose, since the U.S. invented the electric chair.
Go America. Us, USA.
After a couple of months, Maria's sentence was overturned and she got a new trial because the judge was seen as being partial, not impartial, partial, to the proceedings.
He was probably whole, but okay.
You know, I don't judge.
Touché.
At her second trial, she was found not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of the reason she got the second trial was because there was a witness who said that they saw Domenico reaching for a gun, who was not allowed to testify at the first trial. So, self-defense grounds, right? No, no. She showed up at the second trial, claiming that what happened was he said an insult to her just before she slit his throat, which was, only a pig would marry you. She didn't like that. Her claim at the second trial was that this threw her into an epileptic fit. There were no visible symptoms of said fit that she now says she can't remember having slit his throat or run home or change her clothes. The second jury bought it, but they didn't call her insane. They didn't institutionalize her. They just sent her home. She then married a trial watcher, had a son, and apparently lived unhappily ever after because 3 years after that, her second husband was tracked down in Italy with a new wife, and nobody knows what happened to her after that. She might still be alive.
So... that kind of brings us to those rules.
Yes, it does bring us to the rules. I'm guessing Maria didn't read them.
No.
Maria, being an Italian immigrant who could not speak English at her first trial, probably didn't think to ask an interpreter to read her the Plain Dealer in 1845 edition. If she had, she would have known that she broke every single one of them. Domenico was described in court as being a gambler and a libertine of the worst kind. Life goals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She joined herself with a profane man, a gambler, one who made promises he never kept, one whose actions did not correspond with his sentiments, one who was in the habit of running after all the girls in the country, one who neglected his business. So let that be actually two lessons. One would be, I think the rules still apply.
I think so. Safe to say.
And the other would be, it would be best not to anger someone into an epileptic fit.
I didn't know that was possible.
Listeners may not know that I was diagnosed with epilepsy in 2016.
I promise that I never angered her into any of these fits.
Never.
No.
So thanks for listening. I can be found all over social media and on Podbean at IWB Podcast. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Didn't you feel better before you knew that?
Our next guest is Brandon, the host of the Submitted for Your Approval podcast and the Interdimensional RSS podcast.
Hello, Jim and Kit. And the Forgotten News podcast. This is Brandon Cruz of the Interdimensional RSS, Rick and Morty podcast, and Submitted for Your Approval, a Twilight Zone podcast. And I just want to say happy Merry Valentine's Day to one and all. those alive and those dead in the past and in the future. Because everyone, well, so that'll be all of us because we all die. Anyway, as for these rules, I gotta say, I mean, they are rules technically, with the exception of maybe one of those rules, the marry not a woman who cannot make a shirt or cook a meal. That one, that one's not a good one. Other than that, the other ones are pretty much, hey, don't marry someone who's an asshole. That's good advice for pretty much everyone, non-gender specific. Also, spinning street yarn is one of my favorite sayings now, and I will use it in day-to-day conversation. But side note, like, what if someone is actually a street vendor who spins street yarn? Is that an insult at that point in time? I don't know. These are things that we've just lost sight of over the years, and that's why the Forgotten News podcast is so great, giving us those hard-hitting street spinner yarn folk answers.
Our next guest is Karen, the host of the STAT podcast of Tales of Trauma and Treatment.
Hello, everybody. My name is Karen Wickiam, and I am the host of STAT, Shocking Traumas and Treatments. And I'm really excited to have been asked by Jim to participate in this Valentine's Day special. So February, the month of love. Valentine's Day is in this month, and I myself have a little story to tell. It's a little embarrassing, but that's kind of how things roll for me sometimes when I have the best of intentions. So, I met the woman of my dreams about a year prior to this, on February the 21st. I am 47 years old. I was 43 years ago. 44 at the time, and I didn't really believe in this love at first sight thing. Been through a couple relationships, never thought I'd get married, but boom, this woman walks into my life and I'm kind of googly-eyed and gone. So a year passes by, closing in on our anniversary, and I thought, what better day than Valentine's Day to propose? So I made this little treasure hunt around my house. I hid little chocolates, a rose, a little stuffy teddy bear, and things like that. And I gave instructions that led to the next instruction where to find, and the last one led to me with a ring, ready to propose. Well, she goes off on the treasure hunt, only in my nervousness, I had completely messed up the order of things, and she had no idea where to go and what to do. So, disappointing, I walked around to all the little places and ran downstairs quickly, got on one knee and proposed, and she said yes. And yeah, that's my Valentine's Day story, and we are about to get married soon, so there you go. Now, as far as these rules for ladies in terms of getting married, I think they're actually pretty good. Back in the day, back in the 1800s, I didn't think women's rights or considerations in marriage were all that important. And I guess I was wrong, because whoever wrote these rules of marriage was pretty bang on, because it looks like that they were really looking out for women's best interests. And these rules pretty much point out what basic human kindness and respect is about. So I'm all for it. As far as rules for men, rules for women, I do think they apply today, whether you're gay or straight or bisexual. However you define love, I think they're pretty good, though I haven't really had a look-see at the men's ones, so that might change a little bit. Anyway, thanks, Jim, for inviting me. Happy Valentine's Day to all of those out there. And remember, loving yourself comes first. This is Karen from STAT, Shocking Traumas and Treatments.
Our next guest is Minna, the host of the True Crime Finland podcast.
Hi, this is Minna from True Crime Finland. I want to wish you all a happy Valentine's Day. In Finnish, it is called Ystävänpäivä, which literally translates as Friends Day, so please don't feel bad if you're single right now. Spend the day hanging out with your friends instead. I'm going to share my favorite Valentine's Day memory with you guys. I'm currently studying French as my major in university. And last spring, I did an exchange program in Brussels, Belgium. When Valentine's Day came, I had not been in Brussels for a long time yet and felt sort of out of place. I was pretty much all alone and I did not have many friends yet. I was still trying to push myself out of my comfort zone and get used to speaking only French. I had sort of started talking to a Japanese girl, another exchange student called Akare. But I would not say we were close friends yet, at least not on the Finnish scale. On Valentine's Day, I went to class and she came after me and sat next to me. We chatted for a bit and then she gave me this bag. I asked her what it was and she said it was my Valentine's Day gift. I was pretty surprised and I opened it. It was a small chocolate cake the size of a cupcake, with a small note attached that contained instructions on how to heat it up. I was so impressed and happy. From that point on, we started getting closer and eventually became very good friends. She also encouraged me to start studying Japanese again. Now I'm back in Finland and she's in Japan, but I'm going to visit her in May. We are both really excited for that. Now, on to the rules for ladies. I do think those were good general rules for 1845 and also for today somehow. I think you should be with someone who cares for you and appreciates you and makes you a better person. Someone you really want to be with. If you're not happy in the relationship you are in, then that is going to reflect on other areas of your life too. And there's nothing wrong with being single either. Just make sure you are happy. Have a nice Valentine's Day, everyone. I'm off to eat some chocolate.
Our next guests are Krista and Lily from the 36 Times podcast.
Hey there, Forgotten News podcast listeners. It's Krista.
And Lily.
From 36 Times.
A Canadian true crime comedy podcast.
And we're here to wish you a very happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's, oh my gosh!
Yay! And discuss some 1845 rules of love, dating, and marriage.
We're only going to touch on a few of these rules. So here we go. Some of the rules.
Rule number one.
Marry not a profane man, because the depravity of his heart will corrupt your children and embitter your existence.
As a profane woman, I take offense to that.
Darn tootin'.
I haven't corrupted my child yet, nor has my father, so I think we're good.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
This is a dumb one.
It is.
Rule number two. Marry not a gambler, a tippler, a frequenter of taverns, because he who has no regard for himself will never have any for his wife.
Okay, first off, I think this is discriminatory towards kind and decent birds, the tipplers, known for not only their endurance in the world of pigeon racing, but also in the world of love. So rude.
Or maybe we're talking about men who drink too much.
Yeah. No, they do suck. But I was just going to say that, I mean, I know not everyone is into the occasional extra pair matings that the otherwise monogamous tipplers get into sometimes. But, you know, that's not a reason not to give them a chance.
And I think now we are getting off the topic.
Wait, is this not the Forgotten Pigeon podcast?
Anyway.
Right. Okay. Rule six. We skip some. Marry not a man who neglects his business. If he does so when single, he will do worse when married.
Well, this one's sort of legit today, because if he neglects his business, he's likely to neglect a lot more in his life, including family, his wife, the worst yet, the dog.
That is the worst. It also seems to imply that with getting worse when he's married, it's because you, the wife lady, has picked up his stupid slack. So, no. Thank you. I think this rule is totally translates to today. So if you take anything from this,
don't, Lily.
Tipplers are birds, enduring birds.
Thank you all, and have a great Valentine's Day.
With your pigeons!
With your pigeons!
Bye!
Our next guest is Carrie, host of the Books in the Wild podcast.
Hello, and happy St. Valentine's Day. I'm Carrie Schroeder over at Books in the Wild podcast. After reading through the rules for ladies, I have to say, I think they're all still pretty solid advice. The rules basically advise to steer clear of dating anyone who is overly profane, has a gambling or drinking problem, breaks their promises, or are unfaithful, all of which are still as red of flags in 2018 as they were in 1845. Also, avoid tipplers, which I'm not entirely sure what a tippler is, but I'm probably not interested in them either. One of my favorite St. Valentine's facts is that the remains of St. Valentine himself are actually on display in a shrine in Ireland to this day. And perhaps one of the more morbid of gifts, Pope Gregory XVI gifted the exhumed remains of St. Valentine to an Irish priest. The relics are contained in a gilded box with a certificate authenticating that it does contain the remains of St. Valentine and a vessel of his blood. So, for all you Valentine's Day lovers, if you're bored with the same old chocolate and champagne, maybe spice things up on a date to go look at some human remains at the White Friar Street Church in Dublin. I'm sort of kidding. The relics are actually in a sealed box inside of a shrine, which is quite a beautiful display. I hope everyone has a wonderful Valentine's Day. And after all your romantic dinners and Netflix and chill, if you'd like to listen to a podcast about book arts and book history, maybe check out Books in the Wild, available on all podcatchers or at booksinthewild.com.
Our last guest is Aaron, the host of the Red Rum Blonde podcast.
Hey, everyone. This is Aaron Fleming from the Red Rum Blonde podcast. We're talking about things that are rules for ladies from the 1845 edition of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. So I chose rule number 5. Which is, marry not the man who is in the habit of running after all the girls in the country, because his affections are continually wavering and will never be permanent. Pretty good advice for 1845, and definitely very good advice for the year 2018. And I also want to give a shout out and a hello to Kit Karen. Welcome to the podcasting world.
Aaron, thank you so much for that sweet welcome. I am really looking forward to becoming a bigger part of the podcasting world, and I'm just thankful that Jim introduced me.
Well, listeners, that brings us to the end of this episode.
So with that being said, we want to give our warmest thanks to all of the podcast hosts who contributed stories, memories, greetings, and commentary on this very special episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as Jim and I did.
And, as always, we would love to hear your comments, feedback, opinions, ideas, thoughts, and anything else you might like to say in regard to the podcast. So, with that in mind, our email address is forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to type that as all one word. There are no hyphens, dashes, or underscores. We also have a Facebook page. It's another place where you can make comments. Be our guest and just do it. If you don't already belong, just go to the search bar on Facebook and type the 3 words, Forgotten News Podcast, and it will take you right there. In addition, you can also contact and follow us on Twitter and give us your thoughts about almost anything. But please take note, our Twitter handle is @newsforgotten and not Forgotten News. So, long story short, please feel free to use any of those methods to interact with us. We sincerely want to hear from you. So, thanks for listening.
Goodbye, everyone.
Valentine, Valentine, won't you be my Valentine?
Valentine,
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 won't you be my Valentine?
Happy St. Valentine's Day.
Happy St. Valentine's Day.
And remember,
history is no mystery.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. We will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
Love is not blind. That is the last thing that it is. Love is bound, and the more it is bound, the less it is blind.